and then turn to the other rather than have an extended reading. So 13, and this is the first time in the Bible, the name of Caleb is mentioned. So in 13, look at verse 2. Send thou men that they may spy out the land of Canaan. And one man from every tribe was sent to spy out the land. Now I want to ask you one question here that Peter Pell asked. I'll tell you two of the spies, Joshua and Caleb. There are 10 other men. Tell me the name of one of them. Not that you can read one of the names, but tell me one of their names. You say, I can't remember. Remarkable. The sad thing is that the name of the wicked shall rot, but at times we remember names like Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed the Lord, but in the case of these other 10 spies, such as Shamwa, Igal, Gadiel, Gadi, Amiel, Paltai, all of those, we forget their names. But there were 12, but we only remember two, and the two were Joshua and Caleb. Look at verse 6. Of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. And you remember that the 12 spies went in, they came back, verse 25, and they returned from spying out the land at the end of 40 days, and they give a report. And look at verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had spied out unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to spy it out is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who come of the Nephilim. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. Now let's speak to God again in prayer, and we'll go on from there. Our Father, we are so thankful that you have recorded for us the past history of men, whether it's the history in this world or any other history. It is of great interest to us, but we are thankful that in this divine history, thou hast selected for us things for our learning. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and through comfort of the scriptures might have hope. We thank you, Father, that you have selected for us these portions of thy dealings with the children of men, and of their faithfulness to thee, or their unfaithfulness to thee. And we desire to learn the lessons, that we might as Job eschew evil, and that we might as Caleb follow thee fully. By thy Spirit, inspire these good things in our heart, to turn from evil and to follow the good, and to have you to speak good things of us, as you did of those servants that thy son spoke of, and of thy servant Caleb. You know our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, as you promised, and you know our weakness, supply strength, and prepare the hearts of those who are listening. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The illustrious name of Caleb of the tribe of Judah, the ignominious name of Jephthah, the son of Gilead. You remember I spoke about Jephthah for 2 weeks, and the first week I spoke a little bit about Caleb and of his nephew, we took it, Othniel, and so tonight we are back among the glorious names, illustrious names. And what I studied for ever so long a time was the genealogy of Caleb, and rather than pinpoint this Caleb, I had to broaden the title of the message and entitle it The Illustrious Name of Caleb Among the Tribe of Judah. Because you find the name Caleb for numbers and numbers of years appearing again and again and again. And if you are not careful, you will say, well, how did Caleb do all these things? He did not do all these things. It was he and his ancestors who did these things. And so it is an illustrious name. And inasmuch as I enjoy genealogy, I had no difficulty in seeing this name appear again and again, and finding no difficulty in understanding that the same name, with the same name of their children, appear again and again. It's like this. We have Caleb, who was the father of Hur. Aaron and Hur were the ones that held up Moses' hands when he was on the top of the hill, and the children of Israel were fighting with the Amalekites. Caleb was his father. And then Hur, the son of Caleb, also had a son named Caleb. And then Jephunneh also had a son named Caleb. And for that very reason, only in the past few days, one who is studying the genealogy that overlaps mine sent a question asking about a Martin Jones. They were confused because they could not place this Martin Jones, and I knew exactly what it meant. Because of my great-grandfather, he had a brother named Martin Jones, and he had a brother named Augustine Jones. And Augustine also had a son named Martin Jones. And so you say, well, Martin Jones, two different generations, both of them having the same name. And in like manner, they will say, well, how can Hur have a father named Caleb and have a son named Caleb? The same way my grandfather did. My grandfather had a son named John, and my name is John. The name goes on and on, and since you're from Virginia, I will tell you one other thing. The name Barnabas occurs in my family from 1658 in the Isle of Wight down for 200 years. The same name Barnabas occurs again and again and again. And so that is why I have to speak of the illustrious name of Barnabas, you see, in the name of Mills and so forth. I could not pinpoint one because there are so many that have glorious things and ignominious things to say about them. But it's the same way in the scripture, and they take a name and they pass it on, and I rejoice in this, that it is an illustrious name. And unlike the name of Jephthah, that was an ignominious name because of his birth of a woman of ill repute, this was the encouragement. You look at us, and only a few years ago did I find out I had any ancestors that were known at all, and I would have been discouraged and said, I cannot do anything for God because I am not like Caleb, descended from an illustrious name. It doesn't make any difference. It says that Jephthah was the son of a harlot. And Jephthah did as great things as Caleb and Othniel. So, no matter what your ancestry is, you can be used of God. But it is better when you can see a line of illustrious names, and as father as son, going on for generation after generation. That is the encouragement. Strive for that. I like to talk about that lost son that went into a far country and God brought him back from feeding the swine, restored him, gave him a place once again, but I had rather hear of a son who did not go astray, but by faith believed God that if I go to the far country, I shall wind up feeding the swine. You do not have to go to the far country. And yet, when a person says, I was brought up in a Christian home, and God preserved me from all evil. Well, his testimony isn't interesting, you see. But you get one that was a great sinner. Oh, I want to hear that testimony. Well, let me hear the testimony of Timothy. Because it says that for three generations, Lois, Eunice, and Timothy, all of these generations were believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, if you say, I have no ancestry, why, the ones that brought me into the world, they are of ill repute. It makes no difference. God can reach down and pick up a Jephthah, but strive to be like the illustrious name of Caleb, that what you are, you pass on to her, and then her pass on to his son, Caleb, and then you have Bezaleel, who also was used of God in building the tabernacle, and so this is an illustrious name. And I wish I could tell you exactly which Caleb is which, but that is another message in the coming day in the will of God. But tonight, we're talking about this particular Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and we are told more about him in detail than any of the others, and the first thing is this, that he was one of the 12 spies, and he said this about himself. He said, I wholly followed the Lord. You say, well, isn't that rather conceited? Not at all, because I shall not read this portion in Deuteronomy, but God said it first in Deuteronomy, of all those that came out, only Caleb followed me wholly. Now, if God said something about me, then I can say, God said this about me. For me to say something about myself and God hasn't said it first, that's a questionable thing. But if David said, I was a man after God's heart. It's because God said it first. You're just saying what God says. And did you know that I was a holy brother? Because God has said it. Do you know if you trusted Christ as Savior, you're a holy brother too? That's what it says in Hebrews 3. Wherefore, holy brethren. And so we are holy brethren. For that reason, what God has said, we can say. And it starts out in his youth, when he's 40 years old, and this is the commendable thing and another encouragement, that when he was 40 years of age, God said this about him. And this is what I read to you when Caleb was 40 years of age. It says, Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we are not able, and they are ready to destroy all the faith and all the certainty that were in the heart of Caleb. Now, I shall jump 45 years into the future, and in the will of God we shall read it. And the same words that were in the mouth of a youthful Caleb of 40, when he's 85 years of age, he says, give me this particular land, because giants dwell there, and I want to go in and fight them and drive them out. Think of that. Here is a man who has lived 45 additional years, and instead of 40, he's now 85 years of age, and he says to God, I'm still ready to fight giants. Now, I've been saved. I did not give my name this morning, but I'm able to bring this in now. I was saved March the 27th, 1946. So that means in 2 days, I will have been saved 44 years. And if you ask me, well, are you as zealous in witnessing and as active as you were at first? I would say, in a different way. But the same name of Jesus Christ, the Lord, is coming from my lips. And I've never had to alter one thing that I've taught in this word. A few alteration of details, but I've never had to renounce anything that I was taught from my youth. And so, not 85, but from 19 to 63 years of age, I can say that what was true concerning the Savior then, it is true now, and I have no other book that I trust other than this book. And as in the prayer meeting, Peter was saying, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And I can say that after 44 years, Lord Jesus, there's no one else to whom to go. You have the words of eternal life. Now, this is why it's so sad, and that is why you must pray for me as an older man, as I shall pray for you as older men and women. Because what is sad is that Solomon, whom the Lord loved, and who was such an excellent illustration of a youthful man, it says in his old age, strange women drew his heart away from the Lord and took him into idolatry. You say, what a difference. Here is a man in his youth that pleases the Lord, but in his old age, you cannot look at the man and see the same in maturity with years behind him of faithfulness to God as you saw in him in his youth. But you can in Caleb. That's why the name of Caleb is so illustrious. Because as he was in his youth, so he was in his old age and to his dying day. And so here is a man who could say with the Apostle Paul, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me. And so he had a rich entrance into the presence of God. And in that coming day, when Israel shall not be the tail, but shall be the head, then Caleb shall be among those that have a great reward among the children of Israel. A man of whom it could be said in his youth, he followed me wholly. And after 45 more years, he has followed me wholly. And then he fought in his old age until his dying days. And God would still give that commendation of him. If I could only be a man like Enoch, because God gave this testimony concerning Enoch. If I only had the name of Caleb, God gives the testimony. If I only had the name of that servant, well done, thou good and faithful servant, God gives testimony concerning some. But then there are others at the end of their lives of whom words like these are to be spoken. It says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and hath departed to Thessalonica. So I'm going to pray for you older ones, and you older ones pray for me. And you young ones who have not made a decision for Christ, make a decision for Christ, and be like Caleb, and be like Timothy, and be like Titus. And then, if I go around 45 years from now, then by God's grace, may you be a young man going on for God, and be able to look upon me, an old man who spent his life for God. Not as perfectly, not as wholeheartedly as Caleb, but at least having this commendation. I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Caleb was such a man. He was an exhorter. He was a man who, when he spoke, stilled the people. Do you know of anyone who speaks and stirs up strife and discord among brethren? You say, alas, I do. Caleb was not such a man. Do you know a man who is of a timid spirit, who will speak in such a way, and the people who might go forth and fight when they hear such a testimony as this? Suppose now you have an enemy to fight, and 10 of the 12 spies come back and say, the land that we spied out is a land that eats up the people. We saw the ones we have to fight. They are giants. And not only so, we are as grasshoppers in our sight, and we are as grasshoppers in their sight as well. Now, go and fight. Who's going to be encouraged by those words? But listen to Caleb. He said, let us go up at once and take it, for we are well able to take it. And that shows the difference in your attitude and my attitude, and someone else's attitude. You look at Goliath, and the army of Israel trembled as he stood before them and said, "Give me a man." And Israel's army shrank back. And David said, "I am a man. I'll fight him." And Caleb looks at the enemy and he says, "We are well able to take them." And the other 10 spies say, "We are grasshoppers. There is nothing that we can do. The land will eat us up." Now, here is what I want you to understand. All of us who have some age on us look at this present age and we say, it is an evil age. It's not the way it was when we were young. Well then, I suppose that the age and the enemies of God today are so formidable that they're going to eat us up. If we can't take them, we had better turn around and go back to Egypt, should we? You say, no. Well, that's what 10 of them said. 10 of the spies so worked upon the hearts of the people that they were ready to go back to Egypt. But Caleb stilled the people. And may God raise up exhorters who shall reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine and say, we are able to do this. It speaks about Silas. They were men who could give an exhortation and an encouragement to the people. And this is what we can say about Caleb. When the people are cowardly, and when others would discourage the people of God, Caleb stands up as a man of faith and says, we are well able to take them, and I'm ready to fight and risk my life to take them. That's the kind of men we need today. But you say, we can't have that today. I see. So the Lord Jesus is the same yesterday, but not today and forever. Is that it? And Paul could say, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. But you say, well, Paul could say it, but the Lord Jesus isn't giving that strength today. I see. Is he still saving sinners? You say, yes. Is he still causing the Spirit of God to indwell believers? Yes. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us? You say, yes, that power is still in me. And greater is he that is in you, child of God, than he that is in the world? Yes. Then is God still stronger than Satan? Yes. And is God's Spirit in you? Yes. Then we, with faith and assurance, can look at the formidable enemy and say, we are well able to take them. And among the enemies, remember that Caleb was the one who said, give me the most difficult enemies to go and fight. Whereas the rest of us would say, give us weaklings. Give us those that are easy to conquer. But there are some who have an indomitable spirit, a courageous spirit, and a spirit that would spread its zeal and faith to others. And that is what I want. So do not come and discourage me. Give me some encouragement, because somebody has to get encouragement from the Lord. If all of us are discouraged, what if the 10 were trying to encourage one another? Why, they would discourage one another. All of them would be afraid, and the whole nation of Israel would go back to Egypt. But there were 2 who were encouraging them, and Caleb is the spokesman. Joshua was the other man. So remember, this is what is so commendable. In his youth at the age of 40, as well as in his old age at the age of 85, the same faith and spirit of combat was still in him after all those years. Now, one other thing is this. When you have this man at 85 years of age, and he tells God that he wants to fight, he not only encourages with words, and he not only goes and fights when he is 85 years of age, but he encourages other men as well. That's where Othniel came in. Othniel, the nephew, the son of Kenaz, and Kenaz was the brother of Caleb, and Othniel was the son of Kenaz, and he said, whosoever shall take this city, I will give an ox for my daughter the wife. So he's fighting, and he's able to instill this combativeness in his nephew. And that is what we want. Why is it that a few, like Caleb, have to go and fight, but the others never do any fighting? If we had the ability to instill in others like Othniel, as Caleb did, then we would have old men fighting. and we would have young men fighting as well. He thought of this today. Most of us that I've known for so many years, we're older men. Where all of these young people we're going to encourage, they're not even around to encourage. Why? Because they think differently from us. But understand this, that if we do find them, let's do all in our power to encourage them. That is why I said with sorrow that I haven't led many souls to Christ, but my excuse is this. Paul said to Timothy, the things which thou hast heard from me among many brethren, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And that's what I've desired to do. It says Ezra was a scribe. He set his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Now there are some that go and preach the gospel, thank God for them. But my inclination, though I preach the gospel on occasion, is to teach the word. And I enjoy teaching other men. And this was the example of Caleb, who as an old man was fighting himself, but then he said, a challenge to anybody who will take this city. And his nephew, Othniel, took the challenge, and he went forth and he became a warrior, and later on he was a judge in Israel, and the land had rest for 40 years. This is an illustrious family, you see, because Caleb and his direct descendants, he also had brothers, and their children were illustrious in Israel, the tribe of Judah, and that is what is so good. Caleb had a name that he lived, and he was alive, and his descendants were alive. And others have a name that they live, and yet they are dead. And I'm thinking of the assemblies. At one time, those from the denominations would look to us and draw from us and gather teachings from us. But now, alas, it seems as if assembly people are having to go to Lehman Strauss and other people from Dallas Theological Seminary. And yet I read what Lewis Berry Chafer said in his Systematic Theology, and all it is a summary of what Darby and Kelly and Walter Scott and all the teachers from the assembly said years ago. But now, instead of their coming to us, we are having to go to them. But by God's grace, may we encourage those, and may we pray as God said to pray, raise up laborers to send forth into his harvest, and raise up teachers and gospel preachers as well, and those that will teach men to observe all things that Jesus Christ commanded. Because there is such a thing as remembering the Lord Jesus, as well as preaching the gospel. There is such a thing as worshiping God in spirit and in truth, as well as preaching the word and being evangelistic. So let us seek to be like Caleb to instill his faith, his zeal in the hearts of younger men. May God send us these younger men. So here he is, and this is another thing that is heartbreaking. 10 said we can't go in. 2 said we can go in. Joshua and Caleb. For Joshua and Caleb do go in the promised land. But after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, accompanied by a complaining nation that tempts God 10 times. And so your failure is going to affect me. That's what's so disheartening. And my failure is going to affect you. If we ever get to the other passage that I read, you'll find that he says concerning God that after 45 years, God has kept me alive. Think of that. God said Joshua and Caleb are going into the promised land. Now, if you come up to be about 85 years of age, you say, Lord, you've got to take me in soon. And God not only kept him alive for 45 years, but he had in him the same strength as an old man as he had when he was a young man. You say, how could this be? Because God is able to fulfill his promises. But it says concerning the nation of Israel that he consumed their years in vanity and he filled their lives with terror. But here are Joshua and Caleb, and they go through the wilderness 40 years, because of the evil report of the 10 spies, and they have to endure this wandering because of their unfaithfulness. And yet God is faithful, and it may be that in our midst there are those who are faithful, but because of something I've done, that you have done, we're being held back. But God is able to keep us alive even 45 years until we reach the promised land. And then it's not as some who see the promised land and set foot in it and then give up the ghost. But we see the promised land, and God gives us strength in our old age to fight and do what we wanted to do when we were 40 years of age. God is able to do that. So let us not lose faith, but let us keep faith, because God is one who works in the lives of old people as well as young people. If not, what hope would I have now after 44 years of salvation? And that's why one time years and years ago, I enjoyed going down and speaking to the brethren at Park of the Palms. It's just like the Pittsburgh Christian Home. They have some over there. People that are in their 80s and 90s, that's nothing over there. And so when I go to places like that, I like to tell them about Moses, who only started working for God when he was 80 years of age. And 80 to 120, he worked for God. And here is Caleb, a young man that was faithful to God from 40. And then when he was 85, he started working for God and instilled his faith in others. So God can work in young men, and God can work in old men. And so I like to tell them at Park of the Palms and Pittsburgh Christian Home about how God can use people in their old age. But I always caution it with this scripture, that David thought that he was the same as Moses, whose eye was not dim, whose strength was not abated. He thought that he was the same as Caleb, who was as strong when he was 85 years old as when he was 40 years old. And so David, who had killed the giant, went out to fight more giants. And it says that he weakened, and had it not been for David's nephew, then David's light would have been extinguished. So when I'm telling you all of these things, don't think that you can go out now and do the same thing that you did, but relatively speaking, God can do the same. We can fight battles, and older people can now encourage young people. Think of this. Here is a young man, Caleb, encouraging the whole nation of Israel. But here are older men encouraging younger men. Younger men, Caleb and David, when he was a youth, a stripling, he encouraged the whole nation. Young people encouraging older people. But then the Apostle Paul is one who says to Timothy that Timothy is to take over where Paul had left off, because he was an old man, an ambassador in chains. So we need to exhort one another. If there are any out there older than I, you come and exhort me. And if I am older than you, I will give exhortations to you. Now, this thought, I won't take time to read these other passages, but this thought, that when Caleb was speaking to Joshua after they finally get into the promised land, and Caleb said, give me this portion. He said the second time, it may be that God will give me victory over the enemy. Words to that effect. You say, it may be that God, I'm so thankful when I'm able to compare what he said when he was 85 with what he said when he was 40. He said, let us walk at once, we are well able to take it. He did not say that presumptuously. I understand now. He said, the Lord is able to empower us. If the Lord will, I shall be able to take it. You understand that now? Why did he say, we will walk at once, we are well able to take it? Because he understood that his strength was to be derived from God. It may be that the Lord will give us strength to take it, to overcome it. And the other scripture I was going to read you was this. He spoke to Joshua that way, and Joshua said, the land is yours. The land is yours. And so then Caleb had to go and fight with all his might to take the land that was given to him. The exceeding great and precious promises, they are yours. Now go and fight for them. And what he said, it may be that the Lord will deliver the enemy into our hand. It says that he went in and he destroyed the three sons of Anak. So the very enemy that he said, it may be that God will deliver them into our hand, he went in and he fought, and God did the very thing that in humility he said, it may be that God shall empower us. At times, God will give us reversals. And so whenever we say, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, it's Christ who strengthens us. And it may be that God will empower us. Paul, at times, knew how to abound, and he knew how to be abased. He knew how it was to speak to the enemy and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, come out, to a demon. And at the same time, he knew how to have evil hands placed on him and cast him into a prison. And so it may be that God will empower me to overcome Satan, and it may be that God will allow Satan to overcome me, apparently, but only apparently, because in prison, God was waiting to send an earthquake to convert that Philippian jailer and his household and start a meeting in Philippi. And so we know not how to pray as we ought, what to pray as we ought, but the Spirit of God maketh intercession for us. And so these are some of the faults of the illustrious name of Caleb of the house of Judah. And by God's grace, may we be among those who have illustrious names, that we live, and we do live, and we are not dead. Let us pray. Now, Father, let us know that when we look among ourselves, we see so much failure, and when we look within ourselves, we see, as when Moses put his hand within his own bosom and brought out a leprous hand, but we are thankful that thou dost tell us about the strength, the power that worketh in us. There is that Spirit of God within us. What we are in Adam, our God, it waxeth corrupt day by day. But we are thankful that that new man is being renewed. And we are thankful, Father, that we can be empowered. So let us, in our way and in our battles, have the attitude of Caleb, and let us fight, and let us rely upon thee, and let us, as in our youth, as in our old age, be faithful and combative against the enemy and not among ourselves. And let us know what it is to destroy the sons of giants and take the land and be a blessing to the people of God. Give us an illustrious name in Israel, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.